2, The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And it's the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. Welcome in. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. Dr. Deb Lonser is a pediatrician with us. Also me, Joe Galewski, welcome in here today to join the show. udocs@gmail.com. Also Bridget with us here. She's a nutritionist, right? Did I get that right? Nutritionist?
I'm a nutrition assistant at the Cleveland Clinic.
Nutritionist assistant.
Yes, I'm currently in my dietetic internship to become a registered dietitian.
Very good. Okay, so Bridget's with us too. And to join the show, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com, or maybe a telephone call would be nice, 877-711-5211. In this hour, at 20 past the hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, Alphabet Soup with Dr. Ginsberg. Today he's going to talk about TCE, CFL, UV, DDT, and lead in buckshot.
Because
OMG.
And it's hunting season, so he's got a story about that. How about Straight Talk from the Docs at 34 past the hour with Dr. Arthur Perry? What are the topics today?
Well, the answer is radiation therapy before or after breast surgery safer for you and better for outcomes? We have the answer. Arthur's going to share it. Also, he's going to give us an update on the murder trial now going on. Remember, a woman had a clinic at the Philadelphia airport. She had no licenses, but was doing buttock boosting. I don't know what you call it. Buttock enlargement at booty enlargement, I think was the way she phrased it, at the Philadelphia airport. Killed 8 people. She didn't know what she was doing, was using silicon that wasn't registered. Talking about compound pharmacies, she was her own compounding pharmacy. And the answer, what's happening with her murder trial. And so Arthur has an update on that as well. Plus a new therapy for double chins. So all 3 of those we'll try and get to.
All right, Straight Talk from the Docs with Dr. Arthur Perry coming up at 34 past the hour. Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip for this hour coming up for the end of the hour. Let's start this hour with a story from you, Dr. Lonser, and that's about background television. How harmful is background television, especially for kids, since you're a pediatrician?
Yeah, and they're really the only population that it is harmful for. So we have a society that loves background noise. You go to a restaurant, you can't just eat your food. You have to have 22 televisions on, and you come home from work, and you can't just experience the quiet and mind-settling, you know, calm of the house. You have to flip the TV on and make some background noise. It turns out that kids are being exposed on average to about 4 hours of background TV a day. These are kids under 2 in general, and up to almost 6 hours a day. And you might think no big deal, but baby brains and toddler brains are not meant to multitask. And so by being pulled away from the task at hand, which is learning to play, learning to color, learning to focus, learning to develop creativity, they're getting pulled away by this background noise of the television. And even if they're not looking at it, it's causing developmental slowing for them. So it affects their relationships with their parents and makes them less close, and it also affects their ability to learn and become creative. So I would say flip the television off whenever possible. It's good for everybody in the house to have it turned off, but it's particularly important if you have younger kids.
All right, so what age is it allowable now to turn a TV on for an infant?
So you shouldn't have a television. Kids should not have TVs that they look at until they're at least 2 years old. So you shouldn't be watching DVDs or videos or computer screens or anything that's two-dimensional, because it alters the way your brain and your eyes develop. Once you hit 2, you can start to watch small amounts of things, but if you're not watching it, you should have it turned off. And kids are old enough to have a TV in their bedroom when they move out and buy it.
Nice rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's when I told my daughter, when she went to Chuck E. Cheese's the first time, for I think it was her 8th birthday, she said, "When can we come back here? When can we come back here?" And I said, when she's 21 and can come back on her own.
With one of her own. Very good. By the way, content of the background noise, does that make any difference if it's something utterly violent or maybe you're watching Itzhak Perlman play the cello?
So there is a difference as to whether it's music or whether it's verbal. There is some difference to that. But even having music on in the background while kids are doing something creative is not a great idea. So if you want them to listen to music, you should put the music on when they're not doing other activities. And yes, having violent content on has been shown, if they view it, to have a big impact, but I've never seen a study that looked at the actual content of the background noise.
All right, Dr. Mike, we have a story this week about benefits of aspirin. What's that story all about?
Right, well, this is a really wonderful story from a number of standpoints. This was women who were at high risk of cardiovascular events, but it actually, they looked at every group of people age 70 to 92, and they completed comprehensive social, functional, physical, and neuropsychiatric exams. And what they found is those who were receiving more than 75 milligrams per day, which is one baby aspirin, had not only a smaller decline, but actually improved cognitive function if they were taking it consistently. So those women who took one or two baby aspirin a day consistently actually improve cognitive function over the two time periods, which were 5 years apart. So this is people at high risk for cognitive decline. If you look in the comparison group of those who didn't take the aspirin or who were only using other non-steroidals and not aspirin, those who were doing those that take anything else other than the aspirin, had a substantial decline of about 5% in the five-year period in cognitive decline. Those who took the aspirin actually had an improvement in cognitive function over time. So really remarkable change from just two baby aspirin. Remember, check with your doctor. Aspirin does have risk. And if you're going to do it, have a glass of warm water, half a glass before and half a glass after, because 70% of the side effects of aspirin are landing straight on your stomach lining. Have it land in the warm water and wash it down with the warm water so it dissolves faster, and you'll reduce those side effects substantially.
All right, here's another story. Upping physical activity is cuts CV events and even death with regard to type 2 diabetes. Can you tell us more about that?
Right. Even if you exercised three times a week, and that consisted of, if you will, 30 minutes of regular walking, you decrease your complication rates and your death rate if you were a diabetic. But it happened in non-diabetics as well. But in diabetics, those who had just some physical activity three times a week, 67%, two-thirds of the complications of type 2 diabetes and of death from it, cardiovascular death, would decrease by just three times a week. Once a week helped a little bit, but basically very little. No exercise, forget it. You're burying yourself.
That's so interesting to me when you mention the phrase some physical activity. I'm always intrigued by that and what you mean by that, some physical activity. It's kind of a generic, open-ended.
Some physical activity means they walked at least 30 minutes a week.
Okay, walk for
30 minutes at a time. Sorry, I didn't mean that. A week.
3 to 7 times a week in this particular study.
So if they walked 30 minutes a week for 3 times a week, that constituted the low-risk group.
So that's not very, very difficult to do, really. I mean, not a lot. Just, 30 minutes of your time and,
That's exactly right.
Yeah, very good. All right, we're coming back with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Stick around for Dr. G, What's Toxic and What's Not. If you want to reach us on the show, 877-711-5211 or email pretty popular, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Stay with us. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen.
Not an offer to sell a franchise. The offer of a franchise can only be made through the delivery of a franchise disclosure document.
How would you like to have your own money-making, fresh, healthy vending franchise? The company that has revolutionized the vending machine business with healthy snacks and drinks has done it again with the world's only combination gourmet organic espresso coffee healthy snack vending machine. These brightly colored, high-tech, dual-temperature control vending machines will be placed in premier locations in your community. Businesses, hospitals, schools, military bases, health clubs, and other high-traffic areas. Fully stocked with fresh, healthy foods like yogurts, organic espresso coffee, 100% fruit juices, smoothies, granola bars, and other popular brand name healthy and organic snacks. Consumers demand these kinds of healthy foods, and that's why franchise areas are getting gobbled up across the nation. A highly profitable business for you with full training and support. Plus, Fresh Healthy Vending secures premier locations for your machines on your behalf. Call now, 800-226-5454. Get information on how to own your own groundbreaking Fresh Healthy Vending franchise today. 800-226-5454. 800-226-5454.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now.
The words you say to her today.
Can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they're often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Joe Galuski and Dr. Deb Lonser, and starring Dr. Michael Roizen, M.D.
Listen, in the first hour, we had a terrific interview with the actor Robbie Benson. Robbie Benson is an actor, director. His wife is a singer, and he's had an interesting physical life. He's had 4 serious open-heart surgeries. Wonderful interview. If you missed it, RadioMD.com. Go to RadioMD.com. You can hear any part of it or hear it again. It was terrific, Robbie Benson. Time now for What's Toxic, What's Not with our toxicologist, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Welcome in, sir. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, sure. I think that Mike wanted to ask me a question. Is that right?
And that was, Gary, one of the things we talked about earlier in the show was how contaminated the water is that is used for fruits and vegetables. And I wondered, does it get, if you have contaminated with either bacteria or viruses, obviously with minerals and nutrients, does it get into the actual substance of the fruit and vegetables, or does it just stay on the outside? In other words, if you have it early in its growth, does that bacteria or virus get incorporated in some way into the fruit or vegetables?
Yeah, no, usually not. There's not much uptake from soil through healthy root system into vegetation. A lot of the studies are done in tomatoes, and they don't really see much bacteria or virus getting in through the roots up into the fruiting part of the plant. Now, if you have hydroponics and it's in an aqueous environment, that would be the bacteria in water in a hydroponic, that would tend to go into the plant more readily than from soil. Soil tends to hang on to its microbes. But it is a good point, because the other side of that is that, you know, if you've got fairly hot compost with a lot of coliform in it, you really don't want to be growing your vegetables in that. And all the advice is to make sure you have heat-treated, well-processed, and aged manure, because those live E. coli could contaminate the outside of the vegetable, and that really has to be thoroughly scrubbed off. And also you want to make sure your hands are well cleaned up. So it's more an outside of the fruit or vegetable, especially a root crop kind of thing, a carrot. You know, you want to make sure that your compost is well neutralized.
Okay, let's move.
Go ahead,
into...
Joe.
Okay, great. All right, let's. A lot of alphabet soup stories in your topics today, Gary. TCE, CFL, UV, DDT. How about starting with? Let's do the TCE story.
That's a follow up to something I was talking about last week with Camp Lejeune and the outbreak of what we think might be male breast cancer, and we were speculating that it could be from the historical exposure to trichloroethylene or TCE. And one of the listeners was tweeting, "Well, is that what's in fracking? Is that because of fracking at Camp Lejeune?" And no. TCE, or these chlorinated degreasing solvents that have often been used in big metal factories or auto body shops, they are not fracking liquids. And one of the big controversies with fracking liquids to break up the bedrock and release the methane is that they might contain diesel gasoline, diesel fuel, and they're generally banned. But some companies, some fracking drillers are using it. Fracking liquids are mostly water and sand. But in that water, they need to have some hydrocarbons, some petroleum-based products. And that's one of the concerns about how the neighboring well fields may be contaminated from drinking water. But there's also things like methanol and even some lead and formaldehyde that could be in fracking fluids. And so they try to suck out all of the fluid, but they don't get all of it, and some of it could get down into the water table. So that didn't happen at Camp Lejeune. That was a different kind of contamination. But fracking is still very much a controversial subject because of groundwater contamination with things like diesel.
Do we have definitive evidence, Gary, that hydrofracking is harmful?
There is spotty evidence. And so part of the problem is that groundwater is also historically contaminated by gasoline spills all around the country because of leaking gas tanks. And so when you're looking for, say, benzene in groundwater, did it come from that local fracking operation, or was it historically there? Nobody knew about it from, like, a nearby gas station. So that's what makes it tricky. There is some evidence in parts of Pennsylvania and New York that, yes, locally, the methane, especially in some of these drinking water wells and some of the benzene-type molecules, probably did come from a fracking operation, but it's still being hotly debated.
Okay, this is hunting season, so let's talk about hunters and buckshot and lead and buckshot and how much of a problem that is.
Yeah, well, this is a story out of the UK where it's really reaching a lot of debate over whether lead bullets should be banned from buckshot. And the problem has always been recognized from the 1960s forward that if you're shooting ducks, that the bullets that miss, they land in the water, and ducks will pick up the fragments of a bullet, put it in their gizzard, use it as grit to masticate their food, slowly poison themselves. And a recent study in the UK by an environmental group found that one-third of waterfowl that they sampled had high lead levels, enough to poison their nervous system, and that's not good for any kind of waterfowl. So apparently hunters are still using. Now, some of these could be old bullets, but the suspicion is that hunters are still inappropriately using bullets made of lead to shoot at waterfowl. Hopefully not in this country. But the other problem is that they could be poisoning themselves. When you shoot a deer, for example, with lead shot, it explodes inside the animal. And you've got fragments all over, and it's well documented that if you're eating venison that was shot with a lead shot, you're getting lead exposure to you and your family. So steel bullets are a little more expensive. You know, it's about $1 a bullet for a steel bullet compared to fractions of that for a lead bullet. But steel is the way to go. And it's my personal opinion. You know, I'm not a hunter, but I'm not against hunting. But it's my personal opinion that lead bullets ought to be a thing of the past.
Well, that's good to know. Why is there so much DDT, my friend, in the fish in India and Bangladesh?
Well, India is a little different. We tend to think of India and Bangladesh as all being the same part of the world, but these are very interesting, two different reasons why DDT is getting into fish in these two different places. In India, they're in this Kerala district. It's a large province in southern India. They recently sampled rivers and found high levels of DDT in the fish from a factory. They still are allowed to make DDT there and use DDT to hold down malaria. And so this factory has been very sloppy in polluting the sediments in the rivers and high levels of, and, you know, people, they're all local fishermen. They're eating their subsistence. They're eating their catch. So that's ripe for an epidemiology study to look for endocrine dysfunction and cancer along those rivers, people eating that fish. But even more interesting as a toxicologist to me was the Bangladesh story, because there they love to eat dried fish. And fish that are dried in the wintertime, their dry season, did not have particularly high levels of DDT in a sample from the market. But the fish that were dried in the rainy season, their spring and summer, they had high levels of DDT. And it was turns out that they have this white powder as a preservative that's just chock-a-block full of DDT to preserve their fish. Because in the rainy season, if there's more moisture, the fish don't dry properly, and they get contaminated with insects and beetles.
Good stuff, Dr. Ginsberg. Very well done, sir. We'll have to check in with you again for more interesting stories, and we'll talk to you again next week. How's that sound?
Great. We have to talk about CFLs.
We'll do it again next week. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, check out his website, whatstoxic.com. Whatstoxic.com. And again, if you'd like to join the show, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com, or on the phone at 877-711-5211. Yet to come is Straight Talk from the Docs, and we will get to a Real Age Tip of the Week from Dr. Mike Roizen. That'll be coming up before we end today's show, so stay with us. RadioMD.com for any interesting segments you may miss on the show. So thank you for listening. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Deg Blonzer and Dr. Mike Roizen.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour to Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's one thing to have a job in this economy, but it's another to have a career that you love. Getting the skills for today's careers may depend on your college degree. So if you're interested in the future of business, electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, call ITT Technical Institute today. With over 100 campuses nationally, ITT Tech can prepare you for a career in one of these fields. After all, tens of thousands of ITT Tech grads have built a solid future. Perhaps they can do the same for you. Classes meet just a few times a week, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. So what's stopping you? For more information and to schedule your campus tour, call ITT Tech toll-free at 800-574-1319. That's 800-574-1319. ITT Technical Institute, education for the future. 800-574-1319.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour to Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour to Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Drs. Roizen and Lonzer is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
Arthur, how
and
have you been?
And this is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Arthur, you had this great story about the answer is in. We now know whether doing radiation therapy is less harmful before or after breast reconstruction, that is radiation therapy for breast cancer. And what's the answer?
Well, you know, Mike, breast cancer is so common, unfortunately. And if there's a lumpectomy and radiation, we're not talking about an issue with before or after, because radiation is always after the lumpectomy. But the question comes, Mike, if someone needs a mastectomy, and then radiation, do they get a reconstruction before the radiation or after the radiation? And that question has been debated for probably as long as there have been implants, which is the 1960s. And generally, we go ahead and put the implants in at the time of mastectomy. There's a lot of great advantages to that because there are psychological advantages, obviously, and it can save women an operation. But it turns out that if you do that and then you do radiation with an implant in, you've got more complications in the future, more problems that require further surgery because of scarring around the implant and things like that. So a study was done at the University of Texas at the MD Anderson Cancer Center, which is a huge cancer center, and it was a very high-quality study. And they showed that probably if you're going to have radiation, you probably should have it first and then have the reconstruction with an implant. That's probably the answer now. This is one study. It's going to be controversial because a lot of plastic surgeons don't believe that. And it does put a hole in the plan of immediate reconstruction for many women. But it may be the best thing. So that's what this study showed. And sort of groundbreaking. It's the first one that showed anything like that.
How long does the radiation therapy last after breast cancer? Do you know? Is it variable?
Generally 35. Yeah, 35 sessions is a typical.
Okay.
So, you know, that's spread over, what, 6 weeks, I believe, right?
Okay.
Something, 6-7 weeks. And then, you know, the problem with operating after the radiation therapy is other complications, more bleeding, skin doesn't have as good a blood supply after radiation. And, you know, so people thought, well, let's put the implants in beforehand. But lots of problems with that now, unfortunately.
And what sorts of complications are you seeing that you need to go back in and reoperate for?
Mostly it is things like scarring around the implant, very hard implants because of scarring from the radiation or just scarring because after surgery we get scarring. You know, displaced implants, more things of that nature where implants have to be changed, moved, scar tissue broken up, things like that. On the other hand, they did not see an increase in women who needed major flap reconstruction after radiation. So the complications were relatively minor. They didn't require going to more sophisticated methods of reconstruction like flaps or microsurgery. So that's the good news.
Okay.
Arthur, there's a murder trial in progress for the woman who did I guess, booty enlargement at the Philadelphia airport. That is, she injected silicone, and it was more than one woman who died from this, right? What's happened to that trial?
Well, we've been following this on this show for a year or something now, Mike. It's that one at the Philadelphia airport, this woman who called herself the Black Madam. That's what she called herself. She's the one that used Home Depot-grade silicone, to be technical, silicone. She took those caulk guns, and she put silicone into women's buttocks or breasts. She made little incisions, and you know what she used to close the incision, by the way, Mike?
sort of what
we talked about. Yeah, exactly. Remember we talked about this on the show last week? She used actual super glue, something I've put on my own cut just once, because you only do it once, it hurts so much.
It does. So, I tried it too.
That's right. It burns, so you don't do that. We use Dermabond in our office. So anyway, there now the trial is going on. It's happening this week. There's a murder charge against this woman. She's been in jail since last year, I believe, and it is expected that she's going to go to jail for murder. She's done at least 14 cosmetic surgeries where people have come forward and said that she's done it. She's moved herself around. She's used different names, different locations. But the FDA's on her, and the feds are on her, and now this is her trial. And she's about to go to the big house, Mike.
And how many people have died total?
Well, as far as we know, there's only one death. I'm not sure why they're it's a third-degree murder charge. I'm not sure why that is. To me, I'm not a lawyer, but I would think that's more like first degree, but she's on a third degree, but that's still a 20 to 40 year sentence in the state of Pennsylvania. This occurred February of last year, so we're about a year and a half out now, and finally the trial occurs.
Wow.
And why did she do this in shops at the Philadelphia airport? What was it about the Philadelphia airport? And is the airport?
Well, she would.
I've seen these Botox and these spa-like places where they do Botox injections, and you're supposed to get on an airplane right afterwards, I assume.
Yeah, well, this was in a hotel room. So somehow she had some network of people that she advertised through or person to person, and this person flew in from another country, went to the hotel at the airport, and received her deadly injection. You know, I sent you, Philadelphia is a wild west, even though it's in the east. I sent you a photograph today, Mike, this giant, giant billboard on Route 95 going into Philadelphia for Botox. Did you see that one? It's the biggest billboard I've ever seen. You know, $9 a unit. It's crazy what's going on in Pennsylvania. It really is the wild west of cosmetic surgery now. And,
okay,
yeah.
But I saw this. I was at San Francisco. I was in the Boston airport. I didn't see it in Washington D.C. I saw it, and I didn't see it in the Los Angeles airport. But in at least two of the four airports I was in this week, I saw advertisements for Botox treatment in the airport.
Isn't
and
that something?
Wondering, it's getting crazy.
It's getting
you
crazy.
You really want to know your provider. Let's go back to the conditions. You want to know the provider. You want to know that they're not fly by night. You want to know that they're board certified. What else? And how do they find that out, Arthur?
Okay, so there are 24 boards, only 24 real boards, and the ones that are reasonable for Botox are the American Board of Plastic Surgery, the American Board of Dermatology, and inappropriately trained ophthalmologists, the American Board of Ophthalmology, and that's it. We'll give the ear, nose, and throat doctors a shout because some of those doctors are also well-trained in Botox, but that's about it. Anyone else doing Botox is taking advantage of their medical license. They really are. They're taking two-hour courses. Remember that one we found last year, Mike? I think it was a two-hour course with two coffee breaks. So that's a pretty short course.
Wow.
To learn how to do Botox. You know, it's a deceptively simple.
That was advertised in a medical journal, Deb.
Wow.
So they're advertising for people to take this course.
No kidding.
But anyway, the point is you really want someone, you go to ADMS.org. The American Board of Medical Specialists. You look up the 24 specialties, and then you can click on their website, and you can find out if that doctor is certified in that field. But before you have someone do something that could really injure you, which is clearly any injection can injure you, you want to see what the thing is, who made that Botox, and is the doc board certified? Because we know what happens when the Botox ink is from a compounding pharmacy or something inappropriate like we've had recently with the pain injections on epidurals. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on RadioMD.com.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw.
Shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness.
It's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath. Cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the You Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can always send us questions, especially on cosmetic-related issues, for Dr. Arthur Perry at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. Arthur, there was a question about 3 weeks ago about how to treat double chins and whether this new ultrasound technique, when we talked about the new ultrasound, did a job on double chins, and I didn't get a chance to ask you that question, and you already wanted to do a story on double chins. So tell us what you were talking about.
All right. Well, Mike, the traditional treatment of that double chin, or a triple chin, by the way, and Mike, I know you don't have either. You've got a single chin because you're as fit as they come, but for about 100 million Americans that do have two or three or four of these things, that's just fat. That's what we call fat underneath the chin, the neck. It's also technically called submental fat, and it's a very common area for our bodies to deposit fat, even if we're relatively thin. For some genetic reason, it's just, we like those turkey gobblers.
And in fact, right. The first fat you lose and the first fat you gain is your neck. And that's why we often have sleep apnea or problems with obstruction and snoring and more serious problems with sleep when you gain weight. And the good news is when you lose weight, you get rid of that snoring and that sleep apnea fairly quickly.
Or you could go to your friendly neighborhood plastic surgeon and have it sucked away with liposuction, right? No, but that's what's been done for the last 30 or so years. And then I've talked a little bit about that Ulthera. That's that high-energy focused ultrasound, which I had in my neck. That's a method of delivering energy to kill the fat cells, and it does work. But there's a new one out there. It's not FDA approved, but they had an IPO last week, and they raised $70 million. This is Kythera,
wow,
Biopharmaceuticals. So they raised $70 million for a drug that's not yet FDA approved, boy, they've got high hopes, and a lot of people think this is going to work. What it is, Mike, these are bile acids. Remember those? They're bile acids, and they selectively destroy fat cells. So when they're injected into the fat by hopefully a plastic surgeon, but I can tell you, I can predict this one, it's going to be everybody and their brother with a medical license or maybe some nurses.
Well, it may not be anyone,
because
it may not be anyone if it's got a big side effect.
Well, you know, so far they're in what they call phase 3 studies. They've already done studies in Europe, and Bayer is the partner in Europe. They're going to be releasing the results of the phase 3 study in a couple weeks, and on the basis of that, they're applying for FDA approval of the new drug, which would be a blockbuster. I can tell you, a blockbuster, because if you can go to your doctor and have a little injection, and it'll probably probably be repeated injections. So you do it, you come back in 2 months and see how it is, do it again, and knock off fat cells. And this selectively destroys fat cells. It does not destroy muscle or skin cells. So it's interesting. If it works, it's going to be enormous. And everybody who invested that $70 million will make a lot more than that. And if it doesn't work, well, they lost their money.
I'd like to make an appointment to come and see you now. I'm going to get on your books. That sounds outstanding.
Yeah, the drug name, by the way, is ATX-101. How's that? So I don't know if they're going to give it a fancier name.
It'll be fancier.
It'll be fancier. It'll be Fat Bust or something like that. So we'll see.
Okay,
you don't need it, Mike,
but
maybe I'll get it.
Let's do a real age tip of the week now, since we didn't get one the first hour.
Now on You, the Owner's Manual, this is the Real Age Tip of the Week with Michael Roizen, MD.
And this one is called Good Intentions Linked to Happiness and Good Health. Road to where is paved with good intentions, not to where you're thinking. Good intentions, it turns out, deliver you to the corner of happiness and good health, where there's a load of pleasure, pain relief, and good taste. That is, the key thing is optimism and positive thinking. The University of Maryland Mind Perception and Morality Lab, believe that or not, Mind Perception Morality Lab, mind probing studies show you how to do this. That is, just positive thinking and having good intentions, your intent shapes your life and the life of people around you. For people on the receiving end of good intentions, even when the intentions go a bit awry, the world is more pleasant. For example, if someone stomps on your foot intentionally, it really hurts. Same stomp, but unintentional. Say someone stomped on your foot while you were, if you will, on a bus and did it by accident getting up, the pain isn't as intense. Another example. If someone gives you what you believe is your grandma's homemade chicken soup, even if it's actually canned soup that's chicken, you slurp it up because you associate grandma's loving preparation to the store-bought version. How can you use this brain trick to make you healthier and happier? Well, if you want to enjoy food more and get the most pleasure out of life, act with good intentions and attribute good intentions to others. That is, always be positive in what you think others are doing. That'll reduce your stress and the harm that comes from tension and pessimism. In fact, the benefits of having good intentions, more than 8 years younger. And that's the Real Age Tip of the Week.
That was a good one.
Yeah. So, interesting. I'm just wondering if I could stomp on your foot with good intentions and no, that wouldn't work.
You mean intentionally stomp on my foot with good intentions?
Yes, exactly. I guess that doesn't count.
I'm doing this to help you. Actually, you know, I did notice this. My mother-in-law spends a little time with us each summer, and when she served me some chicken soup, the exact thing in this article, in the tip of the week, and I thought it was her chicken soup. I slapped it up and told her how good it was before she told me it was from the red and white can.
It's amazing how
but
that
it really
works.
It really made me feel good that she had cared enough to cook that chicken soup.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom always says that we have a moral obligation to be happy and optimistic, and I think that that's really true.
It's also generally
easier.
Well, I'm
going to now try and sneak a second tip of the week in, or should we do a I'm going to sneak this one in and get both of them in. This is ready to say goodbye to your belly fat. Shape matters. If your body shape resembles the Michelin man, you're ready for You on a Diet Step 4 plan to burn belly fat and lose weight. Your goal, a waist of 35 inches or less for guys and smaller for girls, 32.5 or smaller. That's the ideal. It's really under 40 for men, and it's when you get over 39 for men and over 35 for women that really ages you. So the keys, fiber, whole grain, sweat, and slumber. We'll be right back next week on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Thanks for listening.